Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Good to see you here. Welcome to Darnette's Corner. And I'm just going to give you a little short intro on who Darnette is. She, of course, is the wife of Larry Taylor. And she does a huge amount of research on Indian prophecy and myths and legends. And she has a great deal of information to share with us tonight. So I will just let her go, and you will be amazed at what she has to share. Go ahead, Darnette.
Okay, Dorothy. I understand that Roz may be joining us a little later.
Yeah, she just called in. Let me let her in.
Wonderful.
I'm still a little shaky on the switchboard here, so.
No problem.
Roz?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I hear Darnette's voice.
Oh, yes. How are you, Roz?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on your new life.
Thank you.
I told you it'd work out. But tonight, we're kind of going to go into some prophecies, well, at least one that I have researched and come up with. Now, this prophecy is a real prophecy out of Africa. I think a lot of people that are believers, possibly Christians, have heard of it, actually. It's called The Sun Rising from the West. Now, this prophecy is an A.J. Wang prophecy. It was an evangelist, a Wayla, out of the Luo Church, is one of the ones that prophesied this. Now, this is about a young boy that, in this prophecy, possibly really, really early, had a dream about the sun rising from the west. Now, we all know that the sun doesn't rise from the west. It rises from the east. Now, the sun is S-O-N, not S-U-N, is what it's talking about. That's the prophecy. Now, in this prophecy, it was prophesied that there would be someone of African blood that would come to America or be born in America and become president of the Americas and USA. And according to this prophecy, we've seen one person be elected as our president. And a lot of people have prophesied, you know, have given this prophecy over and over. I've heard it. I don't know about you guys, but I have heard it before. So if you mm-hmm. want to chime in on anything, just let me know. But this prophecy
didn't
is
Didn't Stuart post this on his website, The Light Gate, the Kenyan prophecy?
Uh-huh, I think so, yeah. And that's why I said I was aware of it way back there. But now, I had done a little research on it, but it had not been brought to my attention so much because I usually do Indian prophecies and myths mm-hmm. and legends and that sort of thing. But I ran on, I was doing some research, and in this research, I usually go online or I do other interviews or something to relate it back to the prophecies. And I went online and I'd never heard of this author before. Now, this book is purely fiction. And his name, the name of the book first is the Lua, L-U-O, Dreamer's Odyssey. And get this, From the Sudan to American Power. And the author is Joseph R. Alila, A-L-I-L-A. Now, you can get this book on Amazon.com, and I encourage anyone to get this book and read it. Mm-hmm. It's not that expensive, and it's well, it's a fiction book, but it's well worth the read. I think you would really find it interesting. And this book was written somewhat around this prophecy. Now, it's not written as a real book, you understand, all fiction characters and everything in it. But it's an eye-opener on this prophecy. And I think that knowing how our country is today and what we've got in power, it'd be profitable for anyone to read this book to kind of get an eye about what guides this person in power. And it's... this author has written several other books, which I haven't gotten yet, but I intend to, because I can see it deals with a lot of spiritual avenues, and they're not good spirits. You'll see from the book how the book's written. It shows the spiritual, I would say, probably witchcraft and a lot of other things connected to it. But the book is very, very well written, very good, and very brings this prophecy out as a living piece of history, I would say. And if you girls want to chime in and say something, feel free or ask questions.
Okay, I think we're getting a little back channel from your phone or from something. Now it stopped, now that I say something about it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, did you hear what I said about the book then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that did come through.
Okay. But this book is such a well-written book, and like I said, it is fiction, but it gives some descriptions of a young black boy that was born in Alaska, of all places, and comes to power as a presidential candidate and wins and becomes president of the United States. And through here, it kind of lines up with with our presidential person today. And it's not a good thing the way it's written. He has taken seat of power to run and to be in power for his country of Africa and different things. So this is what we're getting out of this book. But like I said, it's purely fiction. And so that's what I'm coming up on.
Okay, does it discuss how he is going to rule the country once he gets in?
It begins to tell some things. And he is not alone. He has a 11th member committee that runs him, that rules him. This is done by spiritual things. You know, the thing that most people don't see that guides the hand of any country is the spiritual aspects. Even in our political movements today, we have a lot of spiritual things going on, and they're guided, and most people don't believe that they're guided by God. I don't say that this book was written on a godly thing. From what I'm getting out of here, it was purely evil, the way the young man in this story was brought into this book and this prophecy. It came down through heritage. And the thing with it was they came from the Sudan. And this heritage of these ancestors was evil, but it brought him to power. And in the book, it gives all kinds of symbolic things of a young man's head turning into a snake as it looks at someone,
when it really feels, you know, threatened. The spiritual aspects come out in that human, in that book. You'll just have to get the book to read it. And it's definitely not a good, it's not a good spirit behind this man that becomes president, if you know what I mean.
And, yes, I think we all are seeing what that means. You know?
Yeah. I think you've got a good bird's eye view from just looking at the political avenues. But, you know, we've got a lot of things going on spiritually connected to our new election that we're fixing to come up on. And, you know, I don't, I'm not trying to tell everybody how to vote. But you better pray before you do vote, because this is a spiritual thing going on here, too. It's not just about who you are or political party, so to speak. Now, I'm not good at wearing, I don't think I'd be good at wearing a burqa, and I don't think I'd be good at keeping my mouth shut.
There's a reason I wasn't born over there.
That's right. I'll tell you what, I'd get my head lopped off right quick. But the thing is, from what I'm reading in here, the way this author's written it, and it, like I said, it's purely fiction. But this book, this young president, so to speak, he thinks he's Christian, but he's really Muslim. And he's guiding it into a very liberal way. Now, at first it seems really good, but it's not really all that great if you see the spirit behind it. And he doesn't really show his colors till the end of the book. But there's probably a sequel coming up to it. So, but I encourage everybody to go and look on Amazon.com. And like I said, I'm not trying to support Amazon.com. You might get it somewhere else. But this author is Joseph R. Alila. And this book is called The Loa Dreamer's Odyssey. And it says, From the Sudan to American Power. And it's a very good read. So anybody out there that... But it is truly connected to a real prophecy, and that came out of Kenya. And so I would suggest that someone, you know, I began finding when I began doing research on myths and legends and prophecies, I began finding that a lot of writers use these, and a lot of truth is written in fiction, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like interwoven through there.
Uh-huh. You and I were talking, Dorothy, earlier about the Jewish roots, you know, in America, and even in Native American tribes, myths and legends, a lot of that. Now, I don't know how much you know about the myths and legends, but a lot of the up around Pennsylvania, up and through there, different areas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, a lot of places up in there, and Ohio even, they had some discoveries of different artifacts, you know, and different, like, kind of like Stonehenge, sort of those sort of things, and some underground things that were discovered years and years ago. Now, these were connected to a group of Egyptian people, and a lot of Libyan people, and this was when America, before America was discovered as America. Now I know what the textbooks put out there, that this, I would say, an alternative history, because if you get out and do research, really research the artifacts and the things that are here, it describes a whole other world that we as Americans and other people do not understand or know. Now, I've been reading a lot of books, you know, that are written by authors, and apparently they do research too, of course. And through this research, I am finding that they include some of these megaliths and all this stuff that are connected to possibly a giant race of human people, white people. Now, according to the writers of some of the books that I'm reading now, some of these are connected to the fallen ones or the Nephilim that were here thousands and thousands, eons ago, you know. And apparently, and I had read some in magazines years ago, but I remember. Now, I couldn't pinpoint the magazine because at that time I wasn't interested in myths and legends that much. Now, I paid attention to unusual things that happened, but they found the skull in this red-headed, kind of like a Viking, but he wasn't. And he had, I believe it was, you know, different digits on his fingers, different teeth, you know, double sets of teeth and stuff like that.
Now, all the signs of the Nephilim.
Uh-huh. And he was found somewhere up around, I believe it was in Pennsylvania. I don't know for sure about that because it was years ago. Like I said, it was probably 30 years ago when I read that. And he still had red hair because they showed a photograph of him. And also his helmet was, large. He would probably have stood at least 8 to 9 foot tall. And he had a shield and several other things with him. And probably he may have been cannibalistic. He may not have been, of course. We don't know. You can't just say that without having facts. And
right.
a lot of the myths and legends, they've got a bit of truth to them. So that's my project, is trying to find and link these things into other things that are going on. But what I found throughout all this is there is a spiritual aspect behind all this. Spirits are connected to things and people. And unless people out there know the spirit realm and recognize what it is and who's behind the spirit, what's behind the spirit, they have no inkling into what's going on. Now, a lot of times a lot of Christian people I know the spirit realm, okay? A lot of Indian people, a lot of Americans that are spirit connected know the spiritual realm. Now, good or bad, they know it. But it's not easy to talk about this in just your regular circles of people. Most people don't want to hear it. For one thing, they don't want to hear that there's evil. Most of the churchy people don't want to hear the bad things out there. But they're bad. And they're going to get worse as we go into what we're coming up on. We've got things right now around us that are happening that are relating to the spirit realm, also relating over into our country from Mexico. We've not only got drugs flowing through our borders, we've got people coming and going that they kill people. They kill people without any mercy. It's just they've killed people, babies, children. You know, it's sad that we can't have a country and a people next door to us can't have their own country to live in without fear of death. Being persecuted, really, that's what's happening. Because
don't they
of the drug
also,
wars.
Those drug dealers, don't they have those ceremonial rituals about the, who is it, the spirit of the dead, and I think it goes around May Day, too. They have the Day of the Dead, and they do
Day
all
of
this.
The Dead.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot of the drug cartels are connected to the spirit realm. You know, through bad spirits, you know, they do sacrificial, you know, things, but most of it is to have power, and that's what it's
right.
about. But there's a force behind them that is driving them. A lot
yeah,
of this
yeah.
is people that are really paramilitary, you know, and they're coming up out of South America. They're coming from different countries, and they're also coming from Mexico. You know, you've got a lot of cartels over there. Things are going on over there, sacrificing people. They found, what, 18, 20 bodies the other day over there. You know, they just dump them out in truckloads. Well, who cares? You know, these people have no recourse. They have nobody that pays attention to what's going on over there. And even if the Americans know it, right now, all they're worried about is getting elected for the next campaign thing that's going on. You know, there's been 4 years of power, and our borders are wide open. Now, anybody that doesn't shore up the borders and take control of a country, there's a problem. That goes for anybody. I don't care, Republican, Democrat, whatever they are. They could be a zebra if they didn't take control of our borders and do the right thing. Then, to me, they shouldn't be in any kind of line of power. And
well, isn't that supposed to be the main reason for having a government, is to protect your borders?
Well, yeah, and you've also got your people around the militia. You know, the militia, we have what we call the National Guard, you know, here to protect the United States. They're supposed to help to protect it, take care of the United States. Well, where are they all at right now? You know, they're fighting foreign wars, wars that we shouldn't even be involved in, unless it does with our allies, it connects to our allies, or our own power in our own country, or our own safety. We don't have that. We have, our borders are open. They can bring in drugs, they can bring in anything, and a lot of this is America's got a lot to answer for now.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are we guilty of aborted babies, we're guilty of drugs. You know what? Drugs connect you with the spirit realm real quick.
Yeah,
you're going to get involved in it. I mean, you're going to get there. You get involved in all that. I've seen people's whole lives destroyed because of this spiritual thing. You open doorways with those things, and people just don't think about it. They don't really think about what they're doing.
That's because they're in the physical.
Yeah. And, see, they don't understand the spirit realm. And, you know, God's going to hold America accountable. So I don't know what we're going through the next few years. I can't say. But I think that people really need to be praying. They need to be thinking about what's going on around them. Is America alert? No, she's not. People go to the mall every day. They don't pay any more attention to what's going on around them than the man in the moon. You know, we've got Muslims in here. Houston is covered up with them right now. And let me tell you something. You think they're just the same old normal black people like we've got here. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, against some certain race or anything. But they don't like our American blacks. And I've done interviews with several of them, and they tell me right up front, huh? I don't like them. They've got spiritual baggage. And that doesn't mean they're good, okay? A lot of them live off fraud. They steal. They lie. They cheat. A lot of them are Muslims, and they don't think anything about this. It doesn't mean anything to them. Now, I'm not saying a Muslim faces any different from a Christian. I mean, Christians lie, cheat, and steal too, you know. But there's a spiritual aspect behind all this, and that's what America's got right now. And, you know, As a supposedly Christian nation, we're not thinking, we're not changing anything. And I see this here a lot reflected back in the old myths and legends, even of the Indians, you know, the Indian nations, you know, they were almost annihilated when the so-called white race came over. Now, I don't, you know, a lot of the people came from the English, the French, you know, different nations, and they came in and conquered, and also made changes in everything. Now, I know that a lot of the Native Americans were not allowed to speak their own language. The attitude back then was beat the Indian out of the child, or take the Indian out, and, you know, because they were too ingrained in the spirit realm, I think. One thing about most Native people, they understand the spirit world. Now, not all of them understand the good spirit realm, but they do understand the spirit realm, and believe me, they don't like it. A lot of them are afraid, you know, because of things happening. My grandfather, he used to have a thing about the hoot owls. When a hoot owl would holler close to the house, that was a bad omen. So he would wring his shirt tail if it is wringing it down, you know, he's choking it down, and make that bird go on because he didn't want it close to the house because that was a bad omen, and he wanted to leave. Now, a lot of the Indians still do that. My mother is bad about that, saying, oh, well, that's a bad omen. You know, we hear this here hoot owl hooting, and she'll say, oh, that's bad, that's bad. So, we, you know, there's a lot of myths and legends on that sort of thing, too. And a lot of people, you know, they don't realize how it connects. But the spirit realm is not easy to understand, I don't think. But I think a lot of people need to get closer to the Lord where they understand the Holy Spirit. And where they'll be guided by him and not, you know, everything that comes along. And they'll understand what's really going on in the world. Now, he can guide you to do the right thing. You just got to have ears on to hear and to have knowledge of what is happening. A lot of things that are happening now is because of America and her sins. I mean, she's got a lot to pay for.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And yeah, and you know, we over the years, how many babies have been aborted? How many people, you know, just been mistreated and done wrong? But you have a group out there that absolutely hate Christians. And I'm going to tell you, if this nation becomes a Muslim nation, you better look out. Sharia law is not going to be any fun for all these big-mouth women running around here.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, I'd have to relocate right quick.
The problem is, where are you going to relocate to? Because it's going to take over the whole world.
It really is.
It's headed that direction.
It's
funny because I was talking to Daryl Mosley. He's my guest Thursday, and him and I were talking last week, and he said, you know what? He said, it's like this, because we were talking about Mitt Romney, and, you know, he's Mormon. And he said, it's not about one particular belief. It's like they're all, like, because Mormonism has something to do with Masonry, so because they hold the symbol. And he said that all these, Catholicism, all these are banded together. They're all together, and they're going to make this one religion. So it's not going to be like Muslim. It's not going to be Catholic. It's not going to be this. All these are like connected to each other, like say on a branch, and then they're just going to sprout this one world religion.
The only thing that I am concerned about is right now, a lot of the I don't want to name any group, but I'll be honest with you, some of the Democrats that I know and that I'm connected to have a lot of money. They believe in power, and they absolutely detest Christians. And they wouldn't care if it became a Muslim country. They don't care. You know, it is within their right to see that that happened. And right now, you have to go with the lesser of two evils. And I don't know which one. I'll be honest with you. This is not about the economy, stupid. This is about a spiritual aspect going on here in this country. Obama, I believe, is Muslim. I believe that he defers to Muslim and Sharia law, and that is why he's wanting another 4 years. Another 4 years with him, and we'll be finished. We won't have to worry about America. She'll be going down. The Liberty statue might as well just fall over, because there's not going to be any liberty as we know it.
Well, Nathan, we now had a vision of that happening, the Statue of Lady Liberty being decapitated.
Well, I believe we're on our way.
By the sword of the Lord. Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. And I honestly believe that. Sorry, go ahead, Roz.
I'm sorry, but really, what is she? She's the goddess. She's Isis. I mean, really, just look at who she really stands for. She doesn't stand for what everybody thinks she does. And millions of people flock there every single year. And what does she really stand for? She doesn't stand for anything good.
Well, no, but I'm saying that our country, as we see it, Christian, is not going to be a Christian nation, even
right.
Considering. Now, that was a gift from France. I know what it was given as.
Right.
But there are spiritual aspects in Washington. You can look at the way it was set up. Now, yeah, the Masonic realm is a big thing in the United States. Oklahoma's eaten up with it. If you don't belong to the Masons, you don't work hardly. I understand that, but so far they haven't cut our heads off. Now, you know, right now in Afghanistan, I don't know if you guys have been watching this, they're taking little 11, 12, 10-year-old kids out and cutting their heads off. Now, this is Christian kids. This is not your Muslim kids, okay? I think we're coming down to the wire. And, you know, and God's calling the people to be a holy people. This nation shouldn't be like this.
Mm-mm.
If God's people would get out and take their stiff necks out and quit sticking their heads in the sand, their tails in the air, and get themselves together and start praying to the Lord and, you know, seeking Him and seeking His Spirit, you know, God, you could change things. It's kind of
like... They're not seeking His Spirit. They're seeking their toys.
They're seeking everything, you know. Yeah. What they do is they go out here and pray, oh, me, my, mine. We're safe. You know, I really had some experiences over the years. I used to know this Christian minister and his wife, and, you know, And I'm not saying everything's bad, but there was a holiday. It was a Christian holiday, Christmas, which I don't really celebrate. but, you know, I don't mind anybody else celebrate. I'm not going to go out and have a fit. But this minister's wife, she really showed her true colors when she got into Walmart and got in a fight over a truck with another lady for her grandkids. Here they were in a big rigmarole in the middle of Walmart. Instead of her just giving it to the lady and saying, you know, I'll find another something for my grandchild. Oh, no, this was a big deal. I mean, it was a free-for-all. And I thought, wow, I had never seen that before in that lady. But, boy, you just got to find Christian people in the right circumstance, and you're going to see a whole other ballgame. And, you know,
and I know we're not all perfect, you know, we're humans, but God's people got lack a lot here in this country. You can draw them to a good meeting if you pull them by the rope around their neck, you know, but you drag them to a concert, they'll fly anywhere. I really get aggravated when I talk about it because, you know, if I was the Lord, I'd probably go and take the switch off. And it's sad to say that, but I'd say, lights out, kids. You've had your party. It's over. And I'm finished. It makes me angry. But, you know, I see that there's no intercessors like there used to be. You call people and ask for prayer. 5 minutes, if you get that, or they say, oh, Lord, help them, you know. Well, you know, I used to know some of the old saints that got down on their hands and knees, and they didn't leave those knees until they got a release from the Lord. You know, you don't see that anymore. As Larry and I talk about it all the time. The lights are going out, and, you know, America's almost reached the end of a rope. And, you know, I can see what's going on in this country more so every day. Things that are happening, and I know you guys do too. But you're right about the Statue of Liberty. She doesn't stand for liberty anymore. She's, you know, America's a harlot. And what else can you say? But, you know, unless God's people turn and change and really seek the Lord in the spirit realm, this is what we've got. This is what we're coming up on. And
there's too much fear that people are afraid. They don't want to say anything. It's politically incorrect or correct, or they've just gotten to the point where they don't want to offend anybody, and they just don't want to step out of their comfort zone. I mean, nobody wants to, like you said, stick their neck out anymore. They won't say anything.
You know, the sad thing, Christian, is that most people, if they saw somebody getting attacked, they wouldn't even bother to help. They wouldn't give a poor man I hear them all the time out here. They'll see somebody on the street with a sign, need food, and they wouldn't even make a stop to help them. You know, take them a sandwich. You know, you may not have much money, may not have anything, but what hurts you to help someone? You know, there's a lot of people out here in need. And I'm going to tell you what, if they're looking for the government to take care of them, they're going to have to keep on looking because they don't care. And I mean, I'm talking Republican and Democrat. And I'm not talking about your neighbors and people out here like that. A lot of them do care, okay? But these in power, they're there for the power. They're there because that's a spirit driving them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these things are going on, and America's got, she is like a boat that's got holes all in her, and she's sinking. And unless the Lord intervenes, I don't know what we're going to have. And as far as some of the myths and legends I've been looking at, they're telling things that are about to happen that are coming to the forefront that have been spoken hundreds of years ago. And if you believe in the spirit realm, if you believe in the way the Lord is trying to tell you stuff, and a lot of these myths and legends have a basis, because I know the Lord deals with different peoples in different ways. Now, you know, who's to say what tomorrow will bring? Maybe God's people will rise up and do something.
That's
but
right,
right now, I haven't seen it. And,
I haven't seen this kind of that happening.
I think people are waiting for something to happen. I think they're waiting for something to give them that positive. You know, and I see people, you know, when they write on Facebook, they're looking for, they keep seeking for this. Something to make their day. Oh, keep having a positive attitude. You know, be enlightened. You know, you are in control of whatever. And it's like, you know, they're all seeking some kind of something, and I think that's part of the beast system, and the way self-enlightenment, it's like turned inward, you know what I mean? It's not about the Lord's will and what he wants for our life. It all becomes self.
The God within,
That's true. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on right now that I think that most people are hoping somebody else will step in and take care of business. But, you know, the ones that would know better than to do it unless they got backing, because they're finished. You know, they won't make a step out. They're hoping this election will make a change. Now, I know Mitt Romney is from the Mormon Church, you know, and I know there's a lot of spiritual aspects there. But I think American people need to pray about who they vote for. It may be a vote of the lesser evil. And, you know, God may harden everybody's heart, and they may vote this joker back in, and we may be under Muslim law in about 2 years. And then we'll really see what happens. But, you know, it's a decision time. It's a decision time for this country. You know, all I've heard out of a lot of the parties and a lot of the members are lies, okay? But you have to discern. You have to have a spirit of discernment. And like I said, it's going to come down to a vote for the lesser evil. Now, there was some good candidates in there, but they're no longer there. They're not going to let them win. This country is not geared for a good person to win. It's not geared for anybody, and I really didn't intend to talk about this, but it kind of went that way. But right now, you know, we're like $16 trillion in debt here in the United States right now. Now, this is 50% since Obama took office, and he's gotten more debt than 43 of his predecessors have done so far. And you know what we're being done? This is one thing, this here book, and talking to interviews, doing interviews with these here people from Africa. Had one boy tell me, I asked him, I said, why are you so prejudiced against these black people over here? And he says, I don't like their spiritual baggage. And I said, wait. I said, your kings, your countrymen sold them into slavery. And then the Lord dealt with me. America's been sold into slavery. She's got the same thing at her helm, a king that doesn't care. He doesn't care about the American people. He doesn't care about the ideals this country is built on. And, okay, I know it's not perfect. No country is. We all have spiritual debts. We all have things that God's going to hold us accountable for. But, you know, there's some things that come down through generations. And, you know, the black people were brought over here as slaves. A lot of them have become Christian people, honorable Christian people, because I know some. And they have a different spiritual attitude. Some of them are truly, truly serving the Lord, trying to do the best they can, you know, trying to make a home for their families. Poverty stricken, I mean, and they have worked their tails off to come out of that. And they've been fighting a lot of persecution from people here. And then we have all these others coming in from different countries that are disrespectful to them, are prejudiced against them, and actually just plain mean to them. I've seen this a lot. And, you know, when I asked this young man that, he said, I don't like their spiritual baggage. And I said, whoa. I said, here you come out of a country that lives off fraud, that sold your ancestors into slavery. You know, you've got a spiritual baggage in your country that is unreal. And this goes for all these peoples in these different countries as well as ours. Now, God is not a respecter of person. He knows what the heart means. You know, I asked him one time, I said, Lord, I said, why was David such a special person in your eyes? I said, you know, look at all those women. You know, look at all that things, you know, that he did. And it was like, it doesn't matter. He was special because I chose him to be special. And it's because you don't touch that, the Lord's anointed, you know. Whatever he did for the Lord was his to do for the Lord. And he was God's chosen at that time. And those are things that I think that we don't think on. Now, sometimes God will set a tyrant or a king over a country to bring about judgment, to bring about things that will bring his people back to him. And are we going into captivity? Are we going into deliverance? I don't know. But a lot of the myths and legends that I deal with talk about this time and the things that are going on in this country. And it's a definite direction that we're headed to some real judgment. Unless God's people, you know, get down off their high horse and begin to seek him. And pray, you know, we're told to pray for our leaders. We're told to pray for the people, you know, around in high offices. You know, what we don't realize is a lot of these people that go into office, they come in as, they start out as good people. Well, they don't realize what the spirit is behind the ones that are in that offices and that spirit over this country. You know, there's things they're battling every day that we have no inkling of. And how many people pray for them? Maybe their families, you know. The battlefields, like in Afghanistan, I said one time, I said, you know, there's no reason for any soldier to die over there unless God chooses to take them. Because the people here should be praying enough around them in any country that they should have a horde of angels going with them over there to fight battle and to be with them throughout. Now, the same battle is going on in Washington, D.C. It's corrupt. It's diverse in spirit, you know, the way things are, the money power. This country is usually and mostly driven by big business and unions. We see the money behind the things, and it is a root of all evil. I mean, really, it sets people in power that shouldn't be in power, that shouldn't be empowered to rule a nation. But most of these here spirits are power hungry. Why did they try to take down the Lord? You remember when the angels fell from heaven. They wanted the main seat. They weren't good at serving anybody. They wanted that special seat the Lord had. You know, even though they couldn't create anything, they didn't want the Creator in there. This is what we've got going on in America. Everybody wants to usurp the power. And America is really, she is not the country she once was. And that's kind of where we're at today, you know, in all this stuff. And I call it stuff because it really is. We can talk about it unless we get on our knees and pray. It's just stuff. And the same thing will be going tomorrow that came today, you know. But that's kind of where we're at right now. And if you girls got anything to say, feel free.
Darnette, do you have any specifics in mind that the prophecy, the Indian prophecies and myths are saying as regards judgment? I know I truly believe that Obama is in there to do a job, and that
is
and ruin the nation. And he's doing an excellent job. He really is.
Yeah.
You got to give credit
well,
for
if he gets four more years in there, this country will be finished. He's going to start legislating out of the White House is basically what it's all about, and anybody could do that, I guess, if they're gutsy enough, as I'd call it. Some people would say another word, but, you know, I don't know of any. I'll tell you what a lot of the Indian prophecies are. They talk about the Bigfoot coming back and taking over. Actually, I had a dream of China and Russia taking over the United States. They attacked us. They were ruling us running us as our country. This could happen. You know, we're being sold into slavery. And if they happen to call the dead end, we're finished, you know. But a lot of the dreams and visions that are coming, a lot of people, Indian people, different peoples, have had visions of pole shifts, and I actually believe that we are possibly in a pole shift right now. We've had the magnetic fields change in Florida. Airline pilots, this is just not an unnatural thing. It's been happening all along. It's been a little slower than what I thought it would do. I mean, I was waiting for instantaneous. We also had rumors
sort of
this.
Like I say at 24.
Yeah, and the thing is, we've had, you know, rumors of a planet coming close to us, you know, and making things happen, volcanoes go off, different things. And plus, we've also got CERN, HARP. We've got them spraying our skies with all kinds of chemtrails. You know, people says, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. You know, when I see smoke coming out of a plane, that's not conspiracy, and they're making X's in the sky, you know, and they're putting tic-tac-toe up there. Now, what's conspiracy about that? You know, these are real things. Indian prophecy talked about that. The Choctaw prophecy talked about that. They talked about the webs on the world, you know, and when those things came to pass, soon after the end would come. And they talked about snakes covering the houses, so many snakes that you couldn't step outside. Now, that could mean spiritual snakes, you know what I mean, spirits, or it could definitely mean real snakes. Because I'll tell you, when we started having earthquake activity up here, we started seeing more snakes coming out. They were all over the place. And the spiritual aspect of it could very well, you know, snakes represent spiritual aspects. And that was something I noticed in that book. They said that the Lua Dreamer, they said that this young man, when he got angry, he turned and looked at him with a snake head. They saw a snake head when he looked at him. And to me, that's a spirit that drives that man. It'd be interesting to see what's behind some of the ones in power here. I don't know if anybody's prayed to see that. But all you got to do is ask the Lord, and he'll show you. One thing about the Lord, he's no respecter of person. Just because I pray and see something doesn't mean he won't show you too. And, you know, right now, people really, they need to get on their knees and start praying and seeking the Lord. You know, we don't do none of that like we should, none of us. He can heal nations. He can destroy nations. I have a friend that says, oh, I wouldn't want to serve a God that destroyed nations, destroyed a whole people. I said, well, this is the one I serve. I'd rather serve a God that knows what he's doing than some that don't, that sit there and be cold and stone. You know, I want one that talks, breathes, and walks with me. And if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, that's where you need to be. you'll understand what he means and where he's going with all this.
And he does it, a lot of people don't understand the concept of tough love at all. They just don't get it.
You know, if the Lord shows me something, I'll learn. I learn from my mistakes. I probably learn better from my mistakes than I do from just doing it the right the first time. Because I'm kind of one of these, I'm a dummy when it comes to that. I'll go do something over and over again knowing that it wasn't supposed to be done that way. And, you know, I think all peoples are like this. Now, I'm not condemning all Muslim people. I'm not. There probably is some good Muslims out there that really mean well. But there's a spirit behind all this religion. I don't care if they're Muslim, if they're Catholic, whatever. You know, Christian, there's spirit behind it. And it's really choosing the right spirit you're going to follow. Now, you know, you can go and sit in a church pew every day of your life, but if you're not spiritually connected to the Lord, forget it. You know, you're wasting your time and his. If you don't mean it, don't do it. That's what my mother told me when I got saved. She said, if you don't mean anything, she said, this is a serious thing. My mother's real serious when it comes to making a commitment. She told us, she said, if you're not serious about serving the Lord, not really serious, she said, then don't make the commitment, because it's worse to back out of a commitment than it is to make it the first place. And that's kind of how I feel. You know, if you make a commitment to the Lord, then do it. But there's, you know, people think it's a mundane thing to serve the Lord. It's not. It's exciting. There's more excitement in the spirit realm than it is anywhere. You see battles fought and won every day if you see in the spirit realm. And if you want to see in the spirit realm, the Lord will take you there. If you've got the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you there. He'll show you things. He'll show you what's behind people's movements. You'll know things that other people won't ever know and never walk in. You know, the thing about Christians are they need to be as a body of birds that just flow, spirit-wise, just flow together and be guided by the Holy Spirit. If you follow the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you in the right direction. You don't need any man telling you. I don't care if you're Catholic or what. I mean, you know, why have a man tell you what to do when the Lord's there for you? The reason they got synagogues a long time ago was because they wanted them. They wanted a king. God gave them a king. You know, why should people have rulers over them? Because they asked. They can't make a decision themselves. They can't decide to serve the Lord. If I don't understand why they couldn't have just walked in the garden with him and been happy, you know. Maybe it's human nature to do something different, you know. The more I read on some of these here old relics that they find and stuff, and I see into the author's point of view about some of the things going on. And the spirit realm is, you know, a lot of the things they're saying, I know probably can't and won't ever happen unless the Lord was to change. Now, the Lord is going to lead and guide us into all truth. And his word will too. But his word shows you different things every time you read it. If you read it over and over, I mean, you just get the full context of his word. You know, I can read God's word and he'll show me things about it and go back 6 months and read the same thing over, and gee, I even get new context out of it. There's a lot going on in the spirit realm here in America and other countries. But, you know, as a people, we're all connected spiritually. Good or bad, it goes from one country to another. And this election is a big thing because it's going to decide what comes in the next 4 years. And this is going to decide, you know, a lot. So I would encourage everybody to get down on their hands and knees and seek God until they get a good answer of what they, you know, are hearing from the Lord. You know, and maybe it'll be Obama and maybe it won't. You know, I don't know. I personally believe that he'll destroy the nation. Now, the other one may too, but it may be further down the line. You know, I don't know. So, anybody have anything to say?
I just find it interesting how, you know, getting back to different, I don't like that word religion. I don't like it at all. How people, there's different gods to conform to everybody's personality. It's interesting to see. It seems like everybody picks, you know, it could be Buddha, it could be, you know, someone else, how people fit their god according to their personality. In some aspects, it seems like that's what I get. And for people who want meat, who want the truth, you know what I mean? They listen and they go straight to, you know, Yeshua. They want to know the truth, you know, and these other folks want to conform and to comfort their own personality. And I know sometimes when I do a radio show, it you know, Roz, you know, you're really hard. You're supposed to be loving, you know, Jesus was loving. And it's like, well, you know, John the Baptist wasn't out there, you know, being all coddling and nice. I mean, he was driven. And, you know, you in times like this, I mean, maybe there was a certain time when you could just give the milk. But when you're in the time that we're in, you know, it's so, you feel the Holy Spirit inside of you just, it's not angry, it's just firm. You know, let's get the point across here because you're on limited time, you're on borrowed time now. So it's not like, you know, Dave Wilkerson, for instance, I mean, he just hammered, you know, and just put it out there. I mean, you know, and these big, you know, these big people are filling these football stadiums, you know, of people, and they're giving this message of, you know, the Lord wants you to have abundant life and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, you know, get out there and tell them repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, we're in the end days here. This isn't something we can just all stand here and you know, just you know, go by and go about our day. I mean, this is really important. We need to get on our hands and knees. We need to pray and get serious, because if you're not willing, like you're saying, your mom's saying, if you can't make that commitment, get on your knees and pray. And we're all guilty of not doing it consistently.
Sure.
Man, you know, this is our country we're talking about. This is our future here. You know, we got to get on our knees.
Yeah, it depends on people. You know, the thing is, Christian, most people, it's like you say, they commit to their families first. Now, when Larry and I got married, this is one thing we did. We committed to the Lord. The Lord comes first here. Our wants, our desires can be put on hold. But what God desires, it comes first in this house, comes first in our lives. What we want, we'll just have to wait to down the road. It may not ever happen. We're not perfect by a long shot, but we both want to hear the Lord. We want to hear what he says. We want to know what he's wanting us to do. You know, I love Larry, but let me tell you, I love the Lord first. And if God wants something in my life, I want him to be in control. I don't want to put Larry before him. That's a dangerous thing. To put your family before God, you are in a dangerous spot. You're in anything that goes before God is danger.
you don't put your own life before God. You put God first in your life, and then those things will be added to you. It may not be perfect. God knows what we need. He doesn't always give us everything we want. I found that out a long time ago. You know, I went through the era of name it and claim it baloney, and it was baloney, let me tell you. Now, I know we have a lot of big preachers out there said, oh, just ask the Lord, you're not being obedient, you know, come, throw your money out here and he'll supply unto you. Yeah, you can, but you're a steward of that money. Now, you need to pray about what you do with everything. You need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, you're responsible, you're held accountable. The ministers in this country have a reckoning, and they don't realize it. God will hold each one of these ministers in this country. He will hold them accountable for what they're speaking and for what they're doing, all of us. You know, if you're willing to pay the price, that's all I could say. But, you know, you'll be held accountable for those that are underneath you as you're the headship of them in a ministry. Over, like, say, a minister over his church. Well, that is an accountability for their blood. Now, if he gives them the truth, he's not held accountable. But if he wibble wobbles just to get the cash, the flow of the cash, that's between him and God. And, you know, God judges his own very quickly. And like Dorothy said, it's tough love sometimes. Tough love is hard. I have family members right now that I'd like to see saved. But I'm not God, and I can't save them. Now, I trust the Lord with them because he saved me, and, hey, I was in pretty bad shape. And, you know, I'm not perfect now, so never will be. When I'm dead and gone, maybe I will be. But, you know, God has a direction for our lives to go. And we really have to seek him to see what his purpose for our lives is, because it's not always what we think. And like I said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then get the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Lord. He'll show you what you need to do. But you test those spirits, and you test them hard. And if you're into drugs or alcohol or anything, and you need deliverance, and God's dealt with you on it, then get that deliverance you need. Go to a minister that deals in deliverance. You know, if you got some issues mentally, physically, then go to the healer. That's all I can tell you. Because God deals in those situations. And there's a lot of people with a lot of problems out there. And God's a healing, a loving God, but also a determined God. And he's also one that touches each one in his own way. Now, what he would give for one person, he won't for another. Because he has his reasons for doing that. Sometimes someone will come up with an affliction and want to be prayed for, and God won't allow you to pray for him. You want to know why? Is sometimes he wants that person closer to him. He uses things to hold them closer to him. You know, it's not all like we think it ought to be. But God's rules, he doesn't play by our rules. He plays by his own. And we're the ones that's got the problem, not him. So unless you and Dorothy have more, I think I'm about talked out.
Rod,
no,
do you have any more?
No, I just think that, you know, even for people, I mean, just it's really hard sometimes, you know, and I'm not trying to make this about me or anything, but just, you know, I had gone through something
recently, and every, you know, some people know, some people don't. And it was really hard for me because I had, you know, I walked away from the church, and, you know, I been doing this radio thing for 4 years now, and just mm-hmm. people, you know, I'm human too. And
yeah, you are.
And yeah, and when I left California, I just was going through something spiritually. It was just, and even maybe up until a few weeks ago, just a lot of hurt, just anger, just from out of nowhere. I have been praying just to get this off me, because it's because of what happened in the past, you know, with my past marriage. So, and you know, when you get this gut feeling, you just can't shake it, you know, I found out some things, and I just, Aunt Dorothy, I have just been going through it, and I did feel, you know, Lord, I can't do my radio programs right now. I'm not feeling right. It's not right. I can't get on radio because I don't want my flesh being that way. And, you know, it's really something, you know, it's, we're human too. And,
that's all.
You know, and we make mistakes, and by no means am I trying to make excuses, but, you know, I've said a lot of things on radio, you know, because, you know, that I've confessed to, or, you know, reached out to people, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I like, you know, it's just been really hard for me. It's been really hard for me just, and I don't think I've ever gone through, since I was little, what I've gone through when I was little, I don't think I've ever gone through and been so wiped out. So, I mean, the enemy's out there to get us all, you know.
Sure,
he will stop
sure.
nothing, seriously. So if
that's
we're not,
right.
like, on our knees and praying, you know, and a lot of things, too, is, you know, I've been praying really hard for my son, and just praying over him, and just people, please ask to see what's in the spirit world, because your actions in the physical reflect on what happens in the spiritual. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and to pray over, if nobody's praying over, if you're not praying over your children, I mean, they're just open prey.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
You have,
well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Christian, it's kind of like a pastor over a church. You know, you and the child's father are the people who should be praying over him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're Christians and you really believe in the Lord, yeah, you should pray over him. And you should seek the Lord, because that's your job. That's your calling there to pray over that child. But you also have to trust the Lord with him. That's
mm-hmm.
another thing. And but God honors your prayers. You know, how many mothers out here have prayed for their children to come to Christ? You know, there's mothers that's had drug addicts for kids, all kinds of things going on in their families. And I'm not saying not pray for them, okay? I'm
mm-hmm.
saying that people really, it's a good thing to pray for the family. But some of the prayers that we pray for family are selfish. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, you can go into praying every day a selfish prayer, you know, and not thinking about, just pray for your family, I mean, you know, and not pray for other people outside of your life or, you know, the government or whatever. But, you know, if God shows you something to pray about, then you need to be on your knees
sure.
praying. And
sure.
That's kind of how I'm talking about. Now, yeah, that is your calling to do that, too. But you also have a bigger calling since you have a radio show, because as a steward of what you've been called to do for God, he holds you accountable, any one of us that goes on here. You know, God holds us all accountable for what we do and what we say. And, you know, this is something that
you need to pray about what you do, really, and what you deliver. And tonight, I prayed that the ears were open and didn't hear anything, you know, that was prejudiced against any certain group, because it's not. I mean, it's not meant that way. But it is meant to open eyes and ears spiritually. And I think that every one of us has room for improvement, you know, in our spiritual lives. And so, you know, like I said, I'm not perfect, far from it. But if God calls me to do something, I don't care how stupid it seems, I'll go do it. I mean, because he is first in my life, and that's the way it should be. And I mean, you know, I wouldn't dare put Larry first. I don't want him to get knocked off his pedestal. It might be funny, but it wouldn't be good. And I don't
that
think he'd like it for it.
Ball.
Yeah, it might be. But anyway, I mean, no, we don't, you know, really. We pray for one another, but, you know, God comes first in our life. And that's one thing that I would encourage anybody, and you too, Christian, and you marriage, I mean, put God first.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
by all means.
Definitely. And you know, even with your children, don't ever put your children before God, because, hey, let me tell you, that would not
that's
be good.
Dangerous.
That's a very dangerous thing to do. And, you know, we don't think these things. You know, of course, I've never had children, so I'm not really mother material, probably. But anyway, I have had nieces and nephews, and I've prayed long and hard for them, and not all of them have done what they should have done. But I've found that you can't guide somebody that don't want to hear, and God just dealt with me. They don't want to hear it. So when he deals with me to pray for them, I pray for them. When he doesn't, I leave it alone, because I trust him with them. That's all I can do. And my brothers and sisters, the same way. And we're a big family. I've got four brothers and one sister, so that's a lot of praying. I'd have to have knee pads on 24 hours a day. I prayed all the time for them. They stay in more hot water than I know of. So anyway, but
well,
you know,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to share something that I've been learning of lately is speaking a blessing over the children and people, like they used to do in the Old Testament, the patriarchs. Speak a blessing, and I have found that to be very, worthwhile. I mean, it works. It works. So,
well,
if anybody thinks about that as well as part of their prayer life, is speaking the blessings. And when people get married, I try and send a little blessing to them.
Sure,
you know, and actually speak it.
Well, you know, the sad thing is a lot of people go out here and, you know, they'll say something bad about somebody, and what they don't realize, and this is something I've had to speak to several people with about, is when they speak negative of people, negative of things and people that are going on, and it's not the Lord doing it, you know, they're planting seeds, and seeds have a tendency to grow up unless, you know, it hadn't been watered, like we haven't had any water in Oklahoma. But when you plant seeds in your life or in, you know, someone else speaking bad things about them or to them, you know, those can come up in your own little garden if you don't watch it. Or we do. So we have to be careful, you know. The walk is not just a walk. It's not the yellow brick road, let's put it that way.
Man, it is hard. It is really hard.
Yes, you walk a lot on your tongue, definitely.
That's it, yeah. Sometimes I have to bite mine because it gets over. Like I said, if this becomes a Muslim nation, I'm probably going to have to leave. I'll have to find me an island of one. Because I'll be in trouble right off. But it's been good talking to you girls, and really enjoyed it.
Yes, I enjoyed it a great deal. I learned a lot, and I hope everybody who joined us tonight learned a lot. And Roz, there's Kiwi and Cold Water and Mama Bee and who else? Who did I miss? Are all saying glad to see you, relative, you know, metaphorically speaking. I'm sure they're all going to join you on Thursday's show as well, right, guys? Kiwi's typing. We are, Kiwi says. But, Darnette, I hope you join us again.
Okay.
I know with all your research, you've got lots to share with us.
I got a lot to do.
That too.
Yeah.
That thing about the Kenyan prophecy is, it's interesting and it's a little disturbing. You
well,
know,
the Lord,
and
the Lord bet with me on that. The Lord bet with me on that to find that prophecy. He kept, you know, I'm really interested in the myths and legends, you know, and prophecy. And he really dealt with me to find that, hunt it out, and share it. And so, and by luck, I happened onto this fiction book. And like I said, it's purely fiction, but it was written for today and for our country. And I think people need to really read it and see the spirit behind what's going on. You know, this is almost a life reference to what's happening today. So I encourage every one of you to get it. And like I said, it's on Amazon.com and probably somewhere else. And the author's name is Joseph R. Alila, A-L-I-L-A.
Hmm. I got to get that book.
Yeah.
It tells
I'd like
to get
that
book. Hard times coming, people.
Really
up. So, well, I will let you go. Roz, you're all, you've nothing else to say. Oh, Mama B sent
well,
you
no,
up.
Well, no, I just wanted to say quickly that Daryl Mosley will be on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time with me, and we'll be talking about some, you know, current events and some things, so that'll be a really good show. I haven't had him on in a while, and I always look forward to speaking with him. He has an awesome personality, but it'll make for a great show.
Looking forward to it. That's the day after tomorrow, right? Let me get it in my head.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Day after tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a really good show. I always enjoy having him on there.
Okay, and Darnette, you have any closing thoughts?
No, just appreciate you guys having me on, and I thank you so much, and you guys all be blessed in the Lord.
Thank you,
you
so
too,
much.
You too, Darnette.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for coming on. I sure love you a lot, and Larry, and you guys are very always on my heart, so I'm always thinking about you.
Okay, well, thank you.
So good night, everybody, and Father bless, and hit those knees. Good night.
Amen. Good night.